listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast. From marriage to menopause and margaritas, nothing is off the table. This is Cindy Goldenberg.
Hello, everyone. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since my last podcast, but let me tell you why. Since the last podcast, right before that, I had a lumbar fusion surgery. After that, I had an ankle surgery for a pinched nerve in my left foot. After that, I had a hip replacement. Yes, a hip replacement, something I've always wanted that was misdiagnosed. And it wasn't until I had a cortisone fluoroscope, which is an X-ray cortisone shot deep into the hip, that they found that by getting relief, it must have been on the inside. And sure enough, when I had the surgery, the surgeon said, yep, it was fossilized. I think, thank you. I've been saying that for over 5 years, but I got it done. And then, because I postponed the second and final breast reconstruction due to my mastectomies in 2021, I got that finished in the end of July. And then I moved to Miami. Yep, I'm healthy, stronger, flexible, doing Pilates, walking along a beautiful path facing the ocean bay, and living in a life of sunshine and good food. And so as I sat down and started to look at my notes from last year, I found other notes from 3 years ago and 2 years ago, and I saw a common denominator in all of them. And so I'm talking to you not just about boundaries, but about my boundaries and my awareness and how I came to understanding this broad, loosely based term called boundaries. Yes, I thought, yeah, it's self-care, it's self-love. You have to take care of yourself. You have to say no. You have to. All these intellectual ideas and behaviors. But then I look through my notes from books and also therapy, and I identified that you need to incorporate your boundaries through action. Now, how do you do that with action? What's an action? How do you say you just push someone away? No. Action is a thought. So how do you do it through an action? A thought is an action, and voicing your thoughts are actions. Standing up for yourself in a polite way is an action. Planning what to say is an action. Writing things down is an action. And learning to identify terms that can lead you to understanding where your boundaries need to be is like a treasure map. So what do I mean? When I saw this therapist, she gave me like this 4 or 5 page value, core value words or terms or things of integrity that are important to you. What does important mean to you? It means they jump off the page. It means, oh my God, that's my inner truth. That means something to me. Oh, I like this word. I want this word. So when you can probably find these by Googling them, like words of integrity or core values. But anyway, she told me, pick out 10. Well, I did, and I printed up the sheet. And then she said, when you do that, you need to identify why it's so important to you. And you need to describe the feeling of what it is that's important to you, why it's important to you, and if it's something you're not getting, how does that make you feel? If it's something that you're getting and you enjoy it, how does that make you feel? So that is the action, is by putting the feeling with the association of the word. So here's my words. Number one was freedom. And at the time, I'll be honest, it was freedom from being challenged, from being provoked, from being put on the spot in a relationship, in a marriage, in a habitual hamster wheel of provocation and gaslighting and enabling and mediating with my kids, with my husband, because of his own trauma bond, self-sabotaging, narcissistic mom and dad behavior. That I, the spiritual one, I, the psychic one, I, the clairvoyant, forgiving one, I, the self-help, motivational, spiritual teacher that understands that everything isn't what it seems, that I see the auras or I feel the pain of parts of people's lives, whatever, that I am good at understanding the big picture. But I don't want to be all the time. And it's something that's getting on my nerves. And I want the freedom from it. So it was the freedom from being challenged and provoked. It was the freedom from mediating between anybody. I got to smooth things over. It was the freedom of enabling. I know I'm doing this. I'm making an excuse for this, but it's just, let's get through it and let's get to the other side. I'm still a domineering person. I'm still this, but these are all my inner child defenses. So now we came to another broad term, inner child. Oh yes, be kind to the inner child. Love the inner child. I love you. You were a good girl. No, yeah, maybe. So when I picked out my words, freedom was the most important. And the inner child, she showed me how to break down the inner child behavior, because we are all reactionary. And reactionary doesn't always mean exploding, like, I get so mad. Although I do, and I have. But it means disassociating or telling ourselves a story. We are reactionary. And when we are young, we are reactionary. We tell ourselves a story by disassociating, by disconnecting, by removing ourselves. I was asked, how did you survive? I made myself invisible to be safe. And how did you disassociate? How did you check out? I got creative. I painted, drew, sketched, wrote, sung, sang songs, played music, played Barbies. We do these things to identify the methods that brought peace and freedom from anxiety. So when we seek to understand our subconscious, where our memories are stored, with myself, I invited my inner child back to me. I made her feel safe. Pretending, I've always said, is like the universe doesn't know pretend. Doesn't know the difference between that and reality. So if you pretend, it really is the reality. So when you go back in time, or you are in this time, and you bring that young inner child back, I did, like a big sister to a little friend. Well, I didn't have a good relationship with my sister, so I made it like an angel to a little friend. And I made her feel safe. And I reminded her that she's safer here than escaping. And even sometimes I said, Cindy, you know, you're safe, much more safe here than escaping. So stay with me. And let me tell you why this is not easy. Because the mind gets involved. The ego gets involved and goes, this is silly. Or the mind just tries to understand. It justifies and rationalizes and says, well, you know, you had to hide because you were afraid, because dad was like this, and then mom was like this, and then, you know, but it was really because his mom and dad. So we psychoanalyze because all of the past and the psychology, we apply all that. Or, you know, it's because you're a Scorpio or you're a Taurus and you're very stubborn. Or, you know, you got a red aura. So our mind gets involved and it finds things and picks out a little thing over here or a little spirituality over here and it applies it. And we're back to telling stories. So instead, just observe that we're telling stories. When you have complex post-trauma or emotional flashbacks, you have extreme sadness, loss, feelings of abandonment, or feelings of betrayal. And these complex post-trauma feelings, you have to go back and feel these emotions. So when I had an incident back in 2018 where I had and didn't know what it was called, I felt very super psychic. I had emotions that were not mine, but they were mixed with mine, and I was feeling sadness and shock and loss and abandonment and betrayal. And I would tune into people, not like now where I think of someone and then they call me or I see their name somewhere. But I had feelings like, I can't believe you're leaving me. I can't believe I don't have anyone to love me. I can't believe that you are abandoning me. And so I had these feelings for almost 10 months. And it was spawned on by, I can't remember exactly, some things in my marriage, some things with some relatives, and some things with my family and their relationships. And I just would go to Pilates and then I would go meditate and cry. And I knew I wasn't depressed, but that I was going through something. So in this time a few years ago, I did online workshops. I went to healers. I did chants and mantras, and many of them made me cry for like 10 minutes and then I'd stop. So stuff was bubbling up. I went to one healer and she wasn't like a guru. She was nicely dressed and she called herself alternative physical therapy. And she moved my energy around and she moved it off the pancreas, she said. And I said, yeah, I've been so nauseous for months. And then she told me, you know, that's the organ that represents shock. And then I went to psychics. Many of them didn't know that I was psychic as well. And I could feel them talking to me and validating things that I was feeling without me even sharing. I did Kundalini. I did so many things. And I also did therapy. And in the therapy, the therapist, this was a different one, she said, why is this different? And I said, you know, I can't really explain it, and I don't expect you to understand because you're not me, and I'm very clairsentient, and I can tune into people a little, medium, or a lot and just channel their divine team and not remember any of it. But the things I am aware of are for me, and this I cannot control. And then I told her a story of when I used to be living in Southern California near the beach in a tract home, and my parents had an argument, and my grandmother was there, and she had a man who used to drive her to work in a bad part of Los Angeles and carry a gun. And he pulled out a gun and started shooting the ceiling because my grandmother wanted my father to leave. And then my dad went next door and he got a gun. And then he started shooting the ceiling in order for her to leave. And I was in the closet with my mother with a paper-thin closet door, feeling the bullets go above my head and the dust coming down on me. For some reason, I was very calm, but I thought, this is so out of control with maniacs. And I wasn't afraid, as I recall. However, the next day, my dad, I don't know, he went to jail for a day or half a day or whatever, or it was just a family argument. You know, we'd have so many of these before. And I can remember growing up and just seeing my dad beat my mom when I was little and things. And I would always distance myself and something would come over me and I would know, he's a loving man, but he's got a sick problem. But back to this therapist. So I said, after this gunfight, and we stayed with the neighbor that I really liked, and they were a young married couple, and I enjoyed being with them all the time. And then the next day, we got a little U-Haul, we took a few things, we put it on the car, and we took our dog, our family pet that I've had since I was in the crib. And I wasn't quite 11, I was 10 years old, so the dog was 10. And we drove up California, and we drove up through Oregon, and we drove up to a very small town outside of Seattle, into a decrepit old house that we rented. And on the way to this house, my dad stopped for gas in the pouring rain, and the dog got out. And he tried to find him, and he chased and he whistled, but it was pouring. And he was sopping wet, and my dog was gone. And I remember, after I told the story, a month later, I saw a spiritual healer, and she told me about this incident and said, you made a contract and said, I will never not have control again after the loss of your first pet. And she knew nothing. And I thought, oh my God, there's a soul contract to always being in control. Back then, it was total shock. And also the healer said, you have this dark energy around your pancreas, which is total shock. Which was shock how a relative behaved, a family member behaved, parts of my marriage, the way he behaved. So it all started to come together. So I realized that this time of my life, I was suffering from complex post-traumatic disorder. I'm having emotional flashbacks and crying and feeling abandoned and sad and left behind, and the phrases that I'm going to write in the future were, why do you leave me? I don't have anyone to love. Why did you leave me? So now, my recent therapist, I asked her, what is cognitive dissonance? Opposing beliefs at once. Like, I love you, but you are a shit. And she said, well, what you can do is you can have two thoughts at the same time, and you can deal with them if you change the but to an and. I love you, and you are a shit. And even better, when you say and, you take a breath and you breathe. And it isn't to calm you down, but it works that way. It is for you to take a beat, to observe that you are in control of your reaction, of your storytelling, and that it gives you space to observe. I love you, and I'm observing that you are a shit. And by the way, this wasn't just a marriage thing. This was friends and coworkers, and I use the word shit loosely, meaning you hurt me, or how could you say that, or I've been friends to you and you take advantage of me. Fill in the blanks, it's all of that. She also reminded me, okay, that's a good thing to know and to start, but let me remind you, this is about you. So this is all about me. So I'm telling you, I had to understand my choices. She said, you can do three things. You can reject what doesn't look good, doesn't work, doesn't feel comfortable. And I used to say things like, you can love someone, but not their choices. And no, I don't disagree with that, but it's not on the top 10 list. Yes, you can love someone and not their choices, but save that for like Thanksgiving dinner. And then the second thing was you can believe what you want and reject old ways. You can feel you're right and they're wrong. That works. It always makes you feel good. Or the healthy thing you can do is to assimilate. You assimilate both by broadening your perspective. You go bigger and you go deeper, a bigger and deeper picture about yourself. So she went on for weeks, like a master class with so many tools, and that's in the last podcast, so you can go back, or two podcasts actually, you could go back and listen to it again. But with talking about boundaries and the inner child, she asked me, what were your earliest memories of trauma or being frightened? When were the early memories when there was no language to describe how you felt? And I said, around age 6, I witnessed violence towards my mother. And I remember once that cop showed up and they knocked on the door and my dad turned the porch light off. And he said, we're having a marriage, this is a marital conflict. And the officer, he just stood there and he went, oh, okay, I understand. And he walked away. This was the 60s, you know? Maybe that's why I don't like mid-century houses or decor. Seriously, I don't. Anyway, around age 8 or 9 is when I had anger and rage. I'd yell and beat up my sister because I could. And she was 8 years older, but I was tall. And there was a lot of projection, but she was also a shit. The therapist, she told me, you know what? Your anger is about power. And all anger is about power. And I went, oh my God. Now see, this is how I'm looking at this. And I go, yeah, I feel powerful when I'm angry. But my anger comes from a different source, I think. In my mind, it's because I'm just, because I'm right, because I'm loving, because I'm forgiving, because I'm all these things. And then I look at like my husband and I go, God, his anger is through provoking, being passive aggressive, gaslighting, arguing. But that's his defense to feel power. He needs to feel power because he's angry with his narcissistic mother. So now I really reinforce a year and a half ago and observe this and assimilate both the idea that, yes, I love you and you are a shit. I love you, and yes, your parents were shits too. So it doesn't mean I have to accept it, but just observe it and assimilate that both can be true. Then we did different exercises about art, and some of it were sketches that I did myself. And I can sketch very, very easily. I draw, people look at me and go, wow, that was really good. But I have no oil painting or even pastels. I don't have patience. It has to be done right away. I love big brush strokes. But sketching is effortless. I do it while I'm on the phone. And what do I sketch? I sketch fashion, women. I do side of their face with mascara and eyes, like I'm doing an eye makeup demonstration. I do lips. I do profiles. I do hats. I do all these kind of things that are very up close. I also draw flowers. So then she had me sketch myself at 10 years old and draw the perspective and with something else. And then she asked me, what is the physical distance of the art that you do? I said, it's very up close. And up close, she said, is better. Up close is safer. And then do you have any with distance where anything is further away? And I said, no, I don't draw that because I can't see it. I don't want to go in the distance. She also said things like, you know, the psychic brain is the part of the brain that meditates. It transcends time and space. It differentiates realities. And it is blissful, transcendent, peaceful, and addictive. And I think, yeah. I always say I'm the one that goes on the ride. I can't feel my feet. I feel what it's like to be in another place, an eternal reality. It is beautiful and peaceful, and then I float back down. And that's when I talk about, quote, relatives or deceased loved ones. But when I fly and I feel the obviousness, the quiet solitude, the beauty is so blissful. Of course it's addictive. It's escapism and it's a safety behavior because it reduces suffering. You avoid suffering when you transcend. You avoid suffering when you can be psychic. Intense and frequency makes it stronger. So now you got to get grounded. And the way you get grounded, and we come back to these emotional urges, you identify your core values. You go back to the sheets. So my first one was freedom, but it was freedom from being controlled or targeted or blamed or frustrated. It wasn't really freedom in the way that we think of freedom. But then she said, now, what does it feel like to you, the freedom that you want? That's called operational values. First, you're identifying your core values. And now, what are the operational values, the concrete description of that feeling, that ideal feeling, that ideal situation of that need or desire? But freedom was the one that jumped off the page because this is what exactly I wasn't getting. And now I thought, I want joy, reverence, faith, conviction. And I want to be able to be spontaneous and happy and fun and anticipate adventure. Then the next word I put was security. And it was financial security and emotional security and psychological security, because I don't feel like I'm getting what I need. I don't feel valued in getting heard. But I identified that these things were lacking. So then, in order to make it operational, we switched it to security for myself. And that comes from being independent. I don't need to rely on anyone for freedom and joy and spontaneity. That is who I am. That is what I can do. That is what I can participate in at any time. And then my last word was joy. And joy, in this sense, was, again, something I was lacking. And then the operational value is, this is the natural state I feel and I realize in each and every moment, and I want it to dominate. So freedom and security to me is living a successful, happy, joy-filled life and having the freedom to be spontaneous, kind, and in loving relationships where I'm valued, respected, trusted, and heard. So that's what I affirm, and that's what I feel. And if it isn't coming from the people I thought it had to come from, it doesn't bother me. I had a dream where I was saving a young girl, this young child, and I could feel her hand, and I couldn't quite make out her age, but it was around 6 or 7. And I don't know what I was saving her from, and it wasn't a long dream. I just knew I was. So I meditated, and I mean, I put on music and cleared my mind. And then I didn't think, I didn't want to hear anything. And then I opened my eyes and I asked, what does my inner child need? And why does she cry? And what can I do to help her? I see that she's sad and looking down and she feels unheard. And then I went through my chakras and I wrote what I heard from a voice, or maybe voices, I can't remember, but I wrote as if I were doing a reading for someone else, and it came through very clear, not only in my mind, but in my heart, and I could feel as the words were coming to me and I was writing them down, I could feel them in real time. I wrote, root chakra, it's counterclockwise, it's slow, it won't go up, it's clogged, it's diverted. This is my back surgery. Freedom, I'm afraid, I don't believe. I heard the word freedom. Captured, I'm held back, I'm not as promised, I'm denied freedom. I can't let go. I heard the word fishing and heard I'm looking for answers. I can't while I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm protecting myself from revealing the truth in pain and shock and treatment and an abandonment. My story, my past life, as a child, you were beaten, hurt, you endured pain, you decided to let go, you couldn't breathe, and you were smothered, you were killed, and you died at 5. Now come to see why. Rage, it infiltrates the brain. It condemns, it tries to fix. It makes the recovery longer. I continued channeling and I wrote, now, the reflection of myself is that she tried the best she could. She was surprised, hurt. Her daddy loved her, cherished her, but couldn't stop the pain, couldn't stop the rage, and couldn't stop the anguish of being abandoned. I also heard, these are your virtues, accomplishments, accolades, being part of a driven voice to help and heal others through your own personal trauma. I see you, I wrote. I'm not afraid. The voice continued, hollering gives you a voice you never had. Being seen gives you meaning. And the inner child, being loved, gives you value. I take her little hand, sweet, tiny little hand, and I tell her it's okay. I have it firm here. You did your part. You kept a space for me to return to know you can never be abandoned. God, nature, animals, the dog, the horses, the cats, your children's joy of pets and yours. My children love animals. My daughter, especially all animals. I had a horse and cats and always dogs. I had a dream of the little girl holding her sweet tiny hand. But to hear this voice say that hollering gives you a voice that you never had, it gave me a perspective. It let me observe a bigger picture and understand a lot of my defenses, my ways that I survived, my hollering, my fighting, my feeling of injustice that I have to be heard and have to be seen, is coming from a deep-rooted past life memory in my soul, in my Akasha records, in my aura. And that it's okay because it gave you a voice you never had. And I never had it when I was young in this life. This voice continued to say, you no longer need to be driven. Just practice acceptance, pure and simple. Now, I formulate a new plan. I incorporate forgiveness, especially self-forgiveness. I did the best I could, and everything I did had purpose and still does. I also have reverence for this whole process of identifying why that certain things, certain boundaries, certain words, certain triggers, certain feelings applied to this that I can act upon through breathing and looking at them and accepting them. And I accept them not through my mind. Someone and something did it for me. It just happens and I don't notice it, but then when I think about it, I'm not bothered. So when did that shift happen? Now, I do art, I play, I go to Pilates, I write, I am creative, I exercise, I have stopped planning, and I slow down for the future and for the moment. Today, everything I do it with joy. Like I say, I do Pilates many times a week. I walk along the bay. I move back to Miami to be in the outdoors. I don't plan. I try not to judge and instead laugh at what appears ridiculous, like rude people or people that honk or people that say mean things. And while you're out in the store, maybe not at me, but I just observe it and I do laugh at it, or I just don't care. And not in a flip way, but I know it's not about me. I am intentional, but not specific. I don't rush, and I'm late. More than sometimes. The relationships I had are better now. Some dissolved completely. Some just have distance. Some are resolved, and others are revered. All of them are better this way, because now I have boundaries that allow me freedom, joy, and success.
You have been listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast with intuitive expert Cindy Goldenberg. To learn more or stay connected, be sure to visit www.cindygoldenberg.com.